I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As it has been announced, the topic for today is the pursuit of Christ. Right, the pursuit of Christ. Just before we go to His Word, let us just briefly ask the Lord for His blessings. Our Lord and our God, as we come before Thee, grant to us now, O Lord, of Thy grace, of Thy blessings. O Lord, grant to us strength, grant to us focus. Touch our hearts, O Lord, with Thy Word. Speak to us with the Holy Spirit. Teach us, O Lord, and move us, and help us, O Lord, to draw nigh unto Thee. So be Thou gracious to guide us and bless us in this time of listening to Thy Word. May Your truth shine a light into our hearts, O Lord, to dispel darkness, to save souls unto Thee, to restore hearts unto Thee, to grant to us joy and peace, knowing Thy truth. So help us in this time, help us to behold Christ, O Lord and Savior, our Redeemer. Be Thou with us, O Lord, and guide us in Thy Word. Through Christ, O Lord, we ask and pray. Amen. Right, the pursuit of Christ, and that is our topic. And if we're talking about pursuing things in life, I think that is something that everyone does in this world. Right, we pursue after things that are material, things that are tangible, things that we can look at, things that we want in life. We also pursue after things that are not. Right, for children and students, right, I know there are a lot of youths here, a lot of students. What do you pursue after in life? Right, you have the pursuit of education, isn't it? And as you pursue your studies, you know, you have kindergarten, then you have primary school, you have secondary school, you have JC or poly, and then, you know, beyond that. And so you're constantly pursuing, right? One thing after the other, one certificate after the other. And how do you pursue all these things? Is it easy? Nobody's agreeing. Are you all very happy and excited as you pursue it, full of strength, full of joy? You don't feel tired at all. You pick up your assessment books, you pick it up with a bright smile on your face. You know, when you listen to your teachers and lecturers, you're always happy and joyful. Physically, you feel charged every time, right? You enter school. I think all of you are smiling. Maybe that's right. Well, we know that it's tiring, right? Pursuing after all these things as students. And you know, that's not the end of it. Right? You pursue, finish your education. Then most will enter the workforce, right? Families will begin and start. And you know, it's not easy. You enter into a pursuit that goes on for the next 20, 30, 40 years of your life, however the Lord grants you, however long your life might be. You pursue after various things, and it becomes even more complex. Right now that you have a family to look after, you know, you have to pursue after, you know, a salary, you have to bring home the bread, right? You have to provide for a family, you have to pursue after housing, you pursue after health, you have to maintain your health, and you pursue after time to spend on things, and you just keep pursuing and pursuing and pursuing. And besides all these great things, there are many other things that we pursue after. We pursue after culture, we pursue after fashion that changes, we pursue after all these things in life. And that is man, isn't it? We keep pursuing after something. We pursue after peace. We pursue after happiness. We chase after joy. Right? And the thing is this, you know, just now if you have paid attention to the words of the hymn, right? And if you realize this, if we do not have Christ, if we do not have the truth of God's word, you know, the only thing imprinted into our hearts is this world. And our pursuit will only be a very, very earthly thing. All that we can see around us, we will pursue after. We get a car, we want a better car. We get a phone, you want a better phone. You get a degree, you want a higher degree. You're constantly competing. And your eyes can only see as far as this world can stretch. And these are the things that you pursue after. You pursue after glory. You pursue after honor, after beauty. And all these things you'll find at the end of your life as you look back. You have chased down all these things. Maybe you've fulfilled a lot of dreams in your life. But what have you gotten if in your heart is only imprinted this world? When you go to your grave, you cannot bring all these things with you. It will end with your life. People might only have memories of you. Your name might be written on a building somewhere, but that's as far as it goes. The pursuit of the things on this earth is very, very limited. And many of these things are not wrong. Right? As Christians, we know. We study also, we work also, we have families also. All these things might be good by itself, might be fine. But we must look higher. Right? We must look beyond the things of this earth. And that is a message that we are looking at today in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 to verse 16. We are going to look at how the Apostle Paul will teach us on how we ought to pursue after Christ. And this pursuit after Christ, it is a heavenly pursuit. It is a wonderful pursuit beyond this earth. And I pray that as you listen to this message, as you read the Word of God, your eyes will look beyond this earth. And I pray and hope that all of us here this day, we will find meaning and purpose in our lives, not just limited to what is around us, what is here on this earth, but beyond. Right? And I hope that all of us, we will have Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, imprinted into our hearts, and that we will want the likeness of Christ. We will want to be in the presence of Christ one day, to be found in His glory, to be found in His presence. Right? Oh, to be like Thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as Thou art. And I hope that is our prayer today as Christians. And as we look into our passage today, right, we will notice that our passage today comes from the Epistle to the Philippians. This is a letter written by the Apostle Paul, and he writes this letter from prison. And you'll find that this letter, one of the great themes of it is actually of joy. And you'll find that even today's passage that you have looked at, you'll find it's rather amazing, isn't it? It's not something that you expect out of someone who is kept in prison, someone who does not have the freedom to do the things that he wants to do, someone who is oppressed, right? Someone who is unjustly thrown into jail. Right? And yet, when you find the writings of the Apostle Paul, guided by the Spirit of God, you find that this epistle is most wonderful to read. You will see of how he rejoices in the Lord. Right? And if you look at a little bit into the context beforehand, right, if you just glance a little bit forward in this chapter, right, you'll find that in verse 4 to 6 of chapter 3, he talks about his past life, right, all the things that once brought joy to his life. You know, how he was very highly placed amongst the Jews, how he has achieved so much, he's so honorable as a great teacher, how he had the respect of everyone. Right, he comes from a very pure lineage, right, a very high family, a Pharisee, right, and that was who he was. But yet, that was his past life. And if you move down, right, in verse 7, you know this familiar verse, right? What things were gained to me, these things I counted loss for Christ. But now, just now we sang a chorus, things are different now. Something happened to him. Right? All these things that he once chased after in life, that he gloried in, it was past already. Now, he has the Lord Jesus Christ in his life, in his heart, deeply imprinted. And he cannot let go of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? And that's why you find these wonderful verses, right, from verse 8 all the way down to verse 11, how he speaks of how he chases after the Lord Jesus Christ. Right, and all things of the past, he counts it as of loss, but now he wants to win Christ. Right, and he also talks about in verse 10 and verse 11, he talks about the resurrection of Christ. And he looks beyond. It's not just about the Lord Jesus Christ saving him, but of the promises given to him of eternal life. Right, how in the resurrection of Christ, he knows that there's a life beyond this earth. He knows that one fine day, he will be raised up from the dead. And he will be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is his glorious hope. And that is what he looks at so far. And so, now when we come to verse 12, a passage for today, you find that, you know, as Paul thinks about the promise of heaven, about the resurrected body that he will want, that one day he will have, he thinks of this new life that is found in Christ Jesus. Right, and you cannot just sit there and hope, oh, you know, how wonderful it is one day to be found in heaven. You know, no more suffering down here on this earth. Right? And we know that Paul has a thorn in the flesh. He is battling sickness and illness. We don't know exactly what it is. Life is a struggle on this earth. That is something that Paul knows. But yet, what gives to him true life and real life is the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? And now, that's what he points us to in verse 12. He says here, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. So today, first of all, in verse 12 to verse 13, we look at the pursuer of Christ. You know, you have a pursuit, right? You have a chase going on. And so now we look at the one who chases, the one who pursues. Right? And this is how Paul describes himself. He says, not as though I had already attained. He's saying that, yes, I'm still on this earth. I have not received of the glorious body yet. I have not received of the resurrected body yet. I am still on this earth. I battle with sin. I struggle with sin. I struggle with my bodily weaknesses. He knows he's struggling. He has not attained of eternal life yet. But yet, while on this earth, right, what does he do then? He cannot just sit there and say, oh yeah, you know, my life is so tough, so terrible, stuck in prison. No. But even while he is kept in chains, while even he is bound in a Roman prison, yet still here he says, I do already perfect, but I follow after. He continues to pursue after Christ, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Now the state of the pursuer is this, his condition is this, is that he has been apprehended. You know, when you think of this word apprehend, it's this idea of catching, right? When you're apprehended by the police, what happens to you? You're handcuffed, right? And then you're brought to the police station. You're not free anymore. You cannot just run about and do what you want to do. You're now in the custody, in the possession of the police. You're seized by them, by force. And that's the idea of apprehended down here. What the Lord has done to Paul is this. The Lord has seized him with a great force, right? Where once the Apostle Paul, right, he was Saul, he was a persecutor of Christians. He hated Christians. But what God has done is this, to seize him with a great force. The Lord has changed him, saved him to himself, right, called him to himself. And that's what the Lord has done, seized him, tore him out of the darkness of sin, shown to him what the true light of salvation is. Right, and that's what the Lord has done, apprehended. Right, the Apostle Paul himself, he has been apprehended, he has been seized and torn away from the world, torn away from his previous pride, torn away from his previous glory. But now, he can only see the glory of Christ. He wants the Lord Jesus Christ in his life. He pursues after the will of God. Right? And this is why he says, I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Now that he has been seized by the Lord Jesus Christ, he doesn't just rest, oh, okay, I've been saved. I can go to heaven. And then he just continues doing whatever he wants. That's not the whole point down here. Now he knows that he continues, he desires, he pursues, now that he is a child of God. He wants to pursue after Christ. He wants to do what his heavenly Father wants him to do. And that is what he does in this life. He continues to pursue after the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? And this pursuing down here, right, he's not chasing after salvation, okay? What Paul is saying is that he's not trying to or reach forth and try to earn his salvation, no. Right, that's not what this verse says. You cannot earn salvation. No matter how much good works you do, no matter what you try to do in this life, you cannot earn salvation. You cannot work for it. Right? And that's why Paul says, I've been apprehended. It's not that he wanted Jesus even. He hated Christ. He hated all these Christians. But yet the Lord seized him and saved him. Likewise, the Lord himself, he has the power to save you. You might not want him. You might not want salvation. You might not want the truth, but the Lord can save you. And if he wants to save you, he will apprehend you. He will seize you. And after he seizes you, he will give to you a desire where you'll continue to want him. It's as if you want to have the Lord Jesus in your possession always. Right? It's the idea of apprehend. Right? And is that not what we desire? If you are a believer of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you call yourself a Christian, a follower of Christ, a son of God, a child of God, right? And then surely is that not what you want? You want the Lord Jesus Christ in your life in everything that you do. And that is the spirit that we find here in verse 12. Right? And in verse 13 also he says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Here we find that the pursuer is constantly pursuing. Right, when he follows after the Lord Jesus Christ, he doesn't stop. Even while he is in prison, even this chains that he's bound in, it will not stop him. His heart is still desiring of the Lord Jesus Christ. They cannot stop him. He will still pray to the Lord. Right, if you read through this epistle, he is yearning, he's desiring, he cannot wait to get out of prison, right, to minister to the brethren, to be found amongst all these Christians, to preach to them, to care for them. And also he mentions in this epistle, if he is going to die here in his prison, then do you know what? He is happy also. Because even if he dies in prison, right, even if his journey ends down here, he will still be found with the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? And he is never at a loss in any way. Because always in his heart, there is the Lord Jesus Christ. He desires only to be with Christ. And while he is on earth, however long he has more, he doesn't know at this point of time. Everything that he does, he only wants to do it for Jesus Christ. He'll want to do the will of God. He'll want to live in a way that is glorifying to Christ, right? That is good for the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to pattern himself, He wants his character, he wants his life, everything, to be in the likeness of Christ. Right? And isn't that the whole idea that we would desire to? We know how flawed we are. We know how terrible our characters can be. And what is the perfect pattern for all of us to follow? Is it none other than the Lord Jesus Christ? You try to emulate all these great people on this earth. You try to chase after some sort of a philosophy here to mold your life, to empower your life, right? These are some of the words all these motivational speakers will use. And what will you gain on this earth? You will not go very far. Right? While in the midst of evangelism in our Bible college, right, there's this particular elderly man that I've been following up on for a couple of months. He stays in Tiong Bahru. Right? It's a very humble character. It's not a believer. You know, and so he often likes to share about his life. You know, we try to share with him the gospel, but he keeps telling us about his life. Oh, he has gained a whole lot of things in life, but he's humble. He doesn't want many things in life. He's just happy that his children are doing very well. They are very highly placed in the government. But he's just happy to live his humble life. And we tell him of the gospel that, you know, this life is not all that there is to it. You must think beyond. He also says that, yeah, this is right, this is right. He knows. Right? And he knows that all that he chases after is so limited. He knows that despite how he tries to be a good character, he helps out, you know, in the elderly homes, he tries to help his neighbors. He's a very helpful, very kind man. He invites us in, you know, to talk with him. Right? He's a very good character, right, by the world standards. So humble, so nice, so hospitable. But yet also, somehow inside, he just cannot bring himself to believe in Christ, despite how good he is. He knows that he is sinful. He knows of his past, he knows of his flaws, but yet he can only see the earthly things. Right? He's just contented to be where he is right now. So we keep praying for him, keep following up on him, hoping that he'll come to Christ, that he will see Christ and the need of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that this day that all of us, you know, as we look at these two verses, I pray that we will, you know, take our eyes away from this earth and think carefully with our lives. What are we pursuing after? What are we chasing after? What is the meaning and purpose of our lives here on this earth? You know, is it just lived out for ourselves, what I want to do, what I desire, or is it something beyond? Right, and all things that we strive for will end. But we have to look to the Lord Jesus Christ this day, to look to him for salvation, look to him for purpose and meaning on this earth, because he is the key central figure of this entire Bible. You read through the scriptures, the whole message is about Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, he who has the power to redeem you, he who came down to earth to die for our sins, he who was nailed on the cross for our sins to pay the price, the punishment for our sins, and he who rose from the dead, you know, that we might have eternal life. And that's the message of this Bible, to tell us that there is life beyond, that there is the promise and hope of heaven laid up for you, that there is a solution to sin in your life. There's a solution to your limitedness. There's a solution to things of this earth that are so sinful, that are so limited, that will pass away one day. There is a promise of eternal heaven and beyond. And the thing is this, are you found in the pursuit of this? Are you found following after the Lord Jesus Christ? If you are a believer, then you must be a pursuer of Christ. No exception. Right? And in verse 13, you will notice, the Apostle Paul, he says, brethren, right? He identifies himself with every single believer that he's addressing this epistle. Everyone, every single Christian must be a follower of Christ, must be a pursuer of Christ without exception. It's not just for pastors, it's not just for elders, and not just for deacons, and then, oh, you know, I'm just an ordinary member, I'm just a young Christian, I'm just a youth, okay. I'll just follow a little bit behind. I can afford to be more slack, you know. It's not like that. Every single believer must be a pursuer of Christ. If you call yourself a Christian, a follower of Christ, you must pursue after the Lord Jesus Christ. And your spirit must be strong, must be desiring of Christ, where you want to apprehend, to possess Christ in every single area of your life. Not just in church, not just during your quiet time, but everywhere that you go. You will have Christ in your life, whether it's in work, whether it's in school, whether it's in leisure time, whether you're amongst your friends or in family, even in your quiet private moments, everywhere you go, it's all about Christ. All having this idea, knowing that the presence of Christ and God is with you, living out everything, all areas of our life, for the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the pursuer of Christ. He pursues after Christ in all areas of his life. And I pray that all of us as Christians, you know, we will examine ourselves and reflect and think. Can we truly call ourselves a pursuer of the Lord Jesus Christ in everything that we do? We might think, okay, for some things, yes, but what about some things that are hidden? What about some aspects of my life? Are we still chasing after the things that we desire? And we know that these things are not things that are good. And we know that these things are sinful. Is it just a little compromise that we think is okay, you know? Maybe 90% of my life, I chase after the Lord Jesus Christ. This 10%, I keep for myself. It's not like that. Our whole lives, as we mature, as we grow in Christ, we will learn to love this pursuit. You know, it's not this very tiring chasing after the world, don't know what we're chasing after, just trying to keep up with people around us. No. We are following after our Redeemer and our Savior. Right? After our Master. Doing all these things, right? Not just for some earthly reward that will perish, but following after for the heavenly reward. That is our Christian pursuit. And all of us here this day, ask ourselves, examine ourselves. We must think, are we genuinely pursuers of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are we just happy and content to be a Christian? Okay, I just come to church on Sunday, mark my attendance, and then that's it. That's not pursuing after, isn't it? Right? I pray that all of us will have this heart to want the Lord Jesus Christ in all areas of our life. And that is the message, you know, that we have here from these two verses. You know, and some forms of Christianity out there, some who call themselves Christians out there, you know, when they preach of this health and wealth gospel out there, sometimes it's very dangerous, because sometimes people have this idea that Christianity, oh, it's okay, all you have to do is just go to church, then you call yourself a Christian, but otherwise, oh yeah, all other areas of our life, you can do whatever you want. That is not pursuing after Christ. That is pursuing after the world, but then what you do is you paint it over. You just label it, oh, I'm a Christian, but you know, I'm still having the whole world in my life. And is that how we define our lives? It must not be so. Right? Christ first. Christ our all in everything that we do. That is what it means to follow after Christ. That is what it means to be wanting of Christ's likeness. To have Lord Jesus Christ seen in our character. Where our desires, everything that we do, the words that we speak, the way that we behave, every part of us is all about Christ. People might know you in the office, in school, as who you are. They will know your name. They might know your character. They might know your history. They might know your birthdays. They might know a whole lot about you. But do they know that you're a Christian? Do they know that you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? Can they see Christ in your life? And if you truly have this Christ-likeness, if your life is totally about Jesus Christ, then they will be able to see. They cannot deny that. They will see Christ in your life. And if we say that we are pursuers of Christ, may that be so. Right? And so in verse 13 it says, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before. When you note just now in our responsive reading, right, in Psalm 27, verse 4. Interestingly enough, that's what David says through, right? This one thing I desire, to be found in the house of the Lord, the presence of the Lord. He knows his earthly reign as a king is limited. He desires to be found with the Lord, the presence of God. He will not trade anything else for that. Likewise, is your life like this? You will not want to trade anything else for the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ cannot be bought with anything else in your life because he is the most precious thing in your life. And with Christ, you are contented. That is your joy. That is your peace. You will seek nothing else. You will desire and want only Christ. And that is the spirit that Paul brings across in verse 13. And all these things that you once chased after, he slowly forgets. It's just but a distant memory, just a part of a history that's almost no longer significant anymore. Because now it's just all about Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Right? And chasing after the things of this world, you know full well how tiring it is. At the end of a life, do not be this old, tired person that we see sometimes. Right, chasing after so many things, and at the end of a life, finding so little meaning. You know, this old man that we are following up on, that's one thing about him that he keeps saying again and again. You know, he mocks these other old people, you know, under the blocks playing chess. He says, I want to have purpose in my life. I don't want to have a life that's meaningless like them. just sitting around, chatting about things of the world, doing nothing, playing chess, and then just wait to die. So he busies himself. And you find that sometimes he's so close, right? It's almost like he knows that he must have something more in his life. And we keep telling him, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. You need salvation. That's the answer to it. But somehow he just, you know, just can't bring himself to believe. Well, so do not just think that, as long as I live a meaningful life on this earth, that is good enough. Your meaningful life will come to an end one fine day. But if you live a life for Christ, a life beyond, a life of hope, a life preaching and living out for the Lord Jesus Christ, bringing others to Christ, right, having a purpose that is eternal. Now, that is what a pursuit of Christ ought to do. That is what it means to pursue after Christ. Right, and I pray that this will be our motive, desiring of Christ himself. What other motive do we need, isn't it? Just think of Christ, he who has saved you, he who has redeemed you, and that is good enough. Should that not fill you with love and a desire to want to chase after him, to do all things for him? Right? And you would think that no matter what it is in church, I would want to go. Evangelism, tell people about Christ, I would want to go. But where are the people when it comes to evangelism? When it comes to VBS, comes to children's camp, all these various activities where you can bring souls to Christ, when you can speak a word for Christ, where would you be found if you call yourself a pursuer of Christ? Are these not things that should occupy your life? When it comes to study of the Word of God, when it comes to prayer meeting, communing with Christ, where are you found if you call yourself a pursuer of Christ? Pursuing after Christ. And you know full well the answer. Are you truly pursuing after Christ? I pray that all of us are. I pray that all of us will continue to do so. Right? And in verse 14 here, we find that this is the key high point of this passage, because here it talks about the pursuit of Christ himself. Right? I press toward the mark for the prize of the highest calling of God in Christ Jesus. Right? And here it talks about the pursuit of Christ, and first of all, it talks about the manner of pursuit. You see this word down here for I press toward, the mark. Right? I press toward. This is the same word for follow after in verse 12. Right? And this word is a very unique word down here. What it does is this. It shows you this image of a hunter. You know, this, as a hunter, right, what you want to do is this. You're chasing after a prey, right? And so, if you want to hunt down this prey, this deer that you're chasing, for example, you know, you have to hunt it down, you have to focus on this prey. And so you spend maximum effort, you will chase after it, and you want to only hunt down this one target. And you know, you have to hunt down this animal so that you can have its meat to feed your family, you can have its skin to make clothes, right? Something that I know we don't think of in our modern society. Right? But for them, this is a very vivid image when you talk about pursuing. Right? And that's this whole focus word down here, pursuing after this one target, not wanting to let go of it. And you cannot be distracted in this pursuit. You know, you cannot chase after this animal, and then you chase halfway. You look at a durian tree, oh, durian, and then you stop and pick durians. By the time you turn back, the animal is gone. Right? And you can't be like that. It's a singular focused pursuit, not letting go of this target until it's done. That's the idea of this word down here. I press toward. You will not have any other thing in your sights, only this one thing, chasing it down. And that's how much the Apostle Paul loves Christ and how much he wants to live his life for Christ. Everything about Jesus, my key focus in my life, everything follows after that. Everything must align to this pursuit of Christ. Right? And it's a very desperate kind of a chase. Right? Like the hunter, he knows if he cannot bring home this animal, his family will starve. Right? This kind of a very desperate, very needful kind of a chase, not letting go of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope that this spirit is of how we will chase after the Lord Jesus Christ, how we want to do things for him, how we would love our devotions, how we would love to read his word, love to pray, because we need him so much, how we want to think of him, because if we don't think of Christ, right, if we don't have godly and good thoughts, then our thoughts will shift quickly to the world, right, and we know how quick that can happen. This is a focused, singular pursuit of the Lord Jesus Christ that we must have, pressing toward this mark. And you know what's the irony of this word down here? You know this word for pursue and following after, right? Pressing toward. This is the very same word that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to the Apostle Paul, right? In Acts chapter 9, verse 4 to 5, when the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to Saul back then, that was his previous name, He says, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And that's the same word for persecutors. Because beforehand, the Apostle Paul, the only one target that he had was Christians. He wanted to travel to faraway lands just to kill them and destroy them. That was his pursuit in life. He was so focused, so full of fire and hatred and destruction for it. But now, his purpose has entirely changed. Now his only pursuit is after Christ, whom he was once persecuting. Very same word used down here. Right? It's a powerful, powerful message that Paul is sending. And people know. His fame was spread far abroad. People tremble at his name because they know this persecutor is coming. But now they know this man, he is all about Christ. He lives for Christ. He doesn't care if he's persecuted, even if he's caught in prison. He still loves Christ. Nothing can stop him from chasing Christ, from following after the Lord Jesus Christ. You can see the love, the devotion, the faithfulness of Paul as he presses toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Right, and this intensity has a target down here in his pursuit. Right, and this prize of the pursuit that we see down here, you know, when he looks at this mark down here, it's the same way that we have a scope, you know, telescope. That's the idea of the word mark down here. Right, and when this pursuing happens down here, he brings across the idea of a runner. Right, and so, like, if you're in a 100-meter race, right, so you're on the starting blocks, you're down, and you look up, and you know you have to cross the finishing line. Right, that's your mark. You have to chase it down. You cannot deviate left or right. That's your only focus. You cannot look at the cheering spectators and, oh, so many people cheering for me. No. You only want to go across that line as fast as possible ahead of everyone else. That's your focus, your singular focus at a point of time. And that's how Paul describes his focus. Right? And this mark for the prize of the high calling of God, the prize down here, right, is a word that's only used twice in the scriptures. It's only used here and in 1 Corinthians 9:24. Okay, very just quickly look at it. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Right, and again, right, you find that the Apostle Paul, he loves to use this illustration of a runner to describe life. Right? 1 Corinthians 9:24. Right, shall I read this for you? Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. Right, same word for prize down here. And so I believe down here the prize that he talks about, right, in the context of 1 Corinthians 9, is the incorruptible crown. Right, you see that in verse 25. Right, on this earth, you know, all these athletes and runners, right, you know, in case you go for all these runs, you know what, Snoopy run, Hello Kitty run, you get a medal. Right, and then your medal, you know, one day it'll tarnish, one day it can just be thrown away. It's not real gold anyway, right? So it's a corruptible crown, right? Your reward is corruptible. But this incorruptible crown, this prize that God rewards us with now, that is what Apostle Paul has in sight. He knows, on this earth down here, I don't know whether I'll die or not. I'm full of sickness. Right? He doesn't know whether he can make it. But one thing that gives to him hope and joy in life is this prize. He knows. Waiting for him in heaven is a reward. The reward of eternal life. Being found in a glorified body, a body transformed. Right? That you can read off in 1 Corinthians 15. A body no longer wrecked by sin, no longer wrecked by sicknesses of this earth, right? No longer struggles, no longer full of struggles, no longer full of tears or sorrow, but a glorified body, perfect, found in the Lord. And that's this hope that he has in his eyes. And how is all this possible? Because of Christ. And that's why he says the price of the high calling. Right? And this high calling is the idea of upward looking. It's a very, very high calling. And it is a calling given to him. Right, it's not something you can earn for. You cannot put yourself into this race. God himself has called the Apostle Paul. He has saved him, given to him this heavenly calling. Right, and that's what he is looking at down here. And this high calling is not just a high calling, but it is a heavenly calling. It is a heavenly pursuit that all of us are. The pursuit of our Lord Jesus Christ is a heavenly pursuit. It is a pursuit that lifts up our hearts and our minds above, you know, the sorrows of this earth. It allows us to have a glimpse of the eternal glory of God. And you know, when you think of heaven, when you think of how one day I don't have to struggle anymore, you think of the peace that you can have one day. Isn't that wonderful? And now on earth, you know, the Lord is gracious. He grants to us a measure of the peace that passes our understanding. He grants to us a measure of joy, even though we are struggling on this earth. We can exercise it. We can have this peace and joy right now. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that you have this promise of heaven. But know that this promise, when it's fulfilled, when you're there with Him, right, all these things in the past will just be a distant memory. And if you think of this now, don't you feel instantly a lot more at peace, right, to think and know that this struggle here on this earth, tough, yes. Full of sorrows, yes. Struggling with sin daily, yes. Non-stop attacks from the devil, yes. So much influence, so much temptations, yes. Full of all those things. But yet, God does not leave us without hope because we have Christ Jesus. We have this heavenly calling given to us. And I pray that all of us here this day, I hope that you will receive and hear this heavenly calling, that you receive the Lord Jesus Christ in your hearts, and you will know, and you will see beyond, and you will have the promise and hope of heaven. This is what the Apostle Paul speaks of here as he pursues after Christ. And this pursuit of Christ, it places a heavenly purpose in everything that we do. No longer will you just think of what you want to do here. Yes, you will still go about your jobs, right? Good, honest living. You will earn bread and butter for a family. You will still go out there. You will still complete your housework. You will still go to school for the students. You will still do all these things. But you will know, this is not the end point of my life. There is something more than all these things. Because now I live for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's my heavenly pursuit. And with eternity's values in view, you will be able to see the whole world in a new, different light. You will be able to look at, evaluate things differently from everyone else. And your life takes a change when you turn your eyes upon Christ. And it's just a picture of our lives. Sometimes it isn't, isn't it? Right? Sometimes we deviate ourselves from this primary and sole objective of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we fill our lives with so many other secondary objectives that sometimes we forget about what's our primary purpose of living. Right? And so we have to be careful, every single one of us, daily remind ourselves what we are doing, what are we doing here? What is our purpose here for? Don't get yourself lost into so many things that you forget what you're chasing after. And even in church work, right, even as you are very involved in church, that is good too. If you come for prayer meetings, that is good. You get yourself into service, whether you serve in a choir, as an usher, in various areas of the church, that is good too. But again, this is, don't lose sight of the Lord Jesus Christ in all these things that you do. The danger is sometimes that we just fulfill all these duties, we treat it as if we are fulfilling a KPI, right? Key performance indicator, and then, serve as an usher, check, you know, very faithful. You know, serve as this, serve as that, check, 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 come on prayer meeting, check, check, check. And then we forget that our total pursuit, our wholehearted desire and love is for the Lord Jesus Christ. That directs us, that gives to us the motive to do all these things for Him. And we want it. You know, one thing that I'm very heartened about coming to Tabernacle here is that in our prayer meeting, I see youths, students, right, who come for prayer meeting. And, you know, I think we can't give this experience and say that, this is young people, a lot of energy can come. It's not just that. Right? In previous churches, it's not something that we'll see often. Right? To have youth, students, who see the importance of prayer coming. I hope that, you know, no matter whether you're young or whether you're old, no matter what your station of life is, right, that we will take all effort, you know, just to pursue after things that are heavenly, coming together in a fellowship, right, to pray together, coming to learn the word of God together. That's a picture of heaven above, right? To come together in worship. Seize every opportunity. Apprehend every single chance that you can to serve the Lord, to do something for Him, to say a word for Him, to serve Him. Now, that's a life worth living after, isn't it? That's how it ought to be for every single Christian. Yes, it's difficult sometimes to juggle our time, juggle work, juggle family. Yes, everyone struggles. But you pray. Right? If it's a good desire to love the Lord Jesus Christ, to follow His will, to follow His way, I'm sure the Lord will help you. He will enable you, grant you the extra measure of strength. Some days it's difficult, right, to come down all the way here to pray. And then sometimes very pragmatic, we think, come here, pray. Very sleepy, I will fall asleep, might as well just pray at home. Sometimes we give ourselves excuses like that. Very easy, isn't it? But this is an earthly thought, isn't it? Think of heavenly thoughts, right? No matter how tired we are, just pray and hope that we can, you know, do all these things for Christ. Of course, not just prayer meeting, but you know, whether it's mission trips or all things that we can do for Him. I pray that this Spirit will be found in all of us, that as a church together, right, we can be pursuers of the Lord Jesus Christ together. And as we come down, all right, to the last two verses, in verse 15 and verse 16, here we find that the pursuer is perfected. All right, verse 15 to verse 16. The pursuer here is perfected. It says here, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Right? And it says here, as many as be perfect down here. I believe this word perfect would refer to mature Christians down here. Right? This word perfect can be used to refer to Christians too. It's found in mature Christians. It's found in 1 Corinthians 14:20, right, where the Apostle Paul would contrast mature men to young children. Right? And down here is this. All of us, right, we want to be mature in the faith, isn't it, if you are a believer? All of us desire to be found matured in Christ. And as you would be found perfected, when you know that your life is complete in the Lord Jesus Christ, where all aspects of your life are submitted to Him, living according to His will, loving Him in all things that you do, living for His glory, well, that's Christian maturity. Right? It's not a matter of age. You cannot think that, oh, you know, when I become, you know, 30 plus, 40, or become like, you know, like some of the senior adults in the church, or what, then I become more mature as a Christian. It's not a matter of age, but it's spiritual maturity that we're talking about down here. Do not be surprised if a youth can be enabled by the Lord to grow up well in the Lord. Right? To mature very quickly if he is obedient to the Word of God, if he honestly studies the Word of God, if he prays, if he loves the Lord. Right? This is a spiritual maturity that everyone, old or young, ought to have. Right? So let us therefore, right, as many as be perfect, you know, be thus minded. Think of this. If anything ye be otherwise minded, that means in anything, right? If in any single way you deviate from Christ, right, God shall reveal even this unto you. Right? And now, how will God reveal this to you? He's not going to appear to you in a dream and tell you, hey, brother, oh, hey, Christian, how come you're not following after my way? I mean, that will not happen. You need to read the Word of God, right? You need to listen to the Word of God. And then those things will be revealed to you. And I'm sure too, right, as fellow Christians, you check on one another, iron sharpeneth iron, right? We will be shown by the Word of God how we can pursue after Christ better, how we can be perfected, completed in such a way. Right? In different areas of our life, sometimes we know we become stronger at one area and then we start lacking in one area. Right? But we must strive and aim to be spiritually mature in all areas of our life where there are no gaps to be found, where we are complete, so-called perfect in such a way. Not a sinless perfection, okay, where you don't sin anymore, where it's no more sin, no. Right? That's for the future, in a perfected, glorified body. But for now, it's to strive for spiritual maturity. Right? That's what it is. Right? And in verse 16, nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. And it's a wonderful thought that Apostle Paul leaves to us as we end this message here. See, nevertheless, whereto we have already attained. He knows and understands that some Christians, some have matured the Lord by His grace, have allowed them to grow in Him. They are able to live for Christ, pursue after Christ. Right? And the desire of Paul is this, is that let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. And he says that there is this common thing that we all can abide by, walk by, pursue after. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And this same rule that we can have, this same thing that we can have is the Word of God to guide us, to tell us what it means to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. As you read about Christ, you learn of how He conducts Himself, how He speaks, how He responds to persecution. You see how He lives out His life, and you look through, right, of the principles that are taught in the Scriptures, the doctrines of Christ. And as you think about Christ, you will slowly learn and know how our lives can be conformed to such a wonderful heavenly image, right, that others can see Christ in us. That is how we ought to be. Right? We all have the same thing and same rule. And every church, every single one of us, if you have believed in Christ, we have this one same thing that we can follow and pursue after. The Lord Jesus Christ. We have the Word of God to guide us, to help us in this pursuit. And I pray that all of us, we will give ourselves to the learning and reading of the Word of God to help us in this pursuit. Right? And we will have the same mind in such a way, to know the mind of Christ. And that is where the unity of church, of the church is found. Found in the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word given to us. Right? We will not go wrong if all of us align our hearts and our thoughts unto Him. And that's where the unity of the church will be found. We will find that we can resolve personal issues. We can put ourselves away, submit ourselves altogether humbly unto Christ. To love Him, to strive for Him, pursuing after Him. And today, as we have gone through all this points, this passage, I pray, you know, every single one of us, if you are a true believer, We must be found in this singular pursuit for Lord Jesus Christ. We must be pursuers of Christ. We must be found in the pursuit of Christ. And our lives must be perfected, matured spiritually in such a way by the guidance of His Word, by looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ, following after Him until the end of this life. And I pray that if you have not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that you will move your heart. I pray that you will look into the Scriptures and that you will think and know that your pursuit of this life is limited. We do not know when this pursuit will end. And I pray that you will turn your eyes to heaven, that you will look unto Christ and ask Him to be your Redeemer and your Savior, that you will be likewise found in this heavenly pursuit after Christ, looking unto the promise of eternal life and glory and hope that can be found in our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our Father and our Lord, thank Thee for this passage that reminds us of our lives, O Lord. And I pray that You will bring us into a deep reflection of how we have lived our lives. If we have failed Thee in any way, O Lord, if we have lacked, if we have loved this world, O Lord, forgive us. Turn us away from this world and help us to pursue after Thee, to pursue after Christ, our Redeemer and our Savior. Pray, O Lord, that this will be a focused, singular pursuit in our lives, where all our desires, all our wantings, and all our will in this life will be submitted to Thine own, O Lord. Pray for all here. Pray for those who have not found Christ, that You will save them unto Thyself, Lord, that You will show to them the truth, the way, and the life that is found in Christ and in Thy Word. Be Thou gracious to us, Lord. Help us in this pursuit. Through Christ our Lord, we ask and pray. Amen.